Welcome to the Real Docs Podcast, hosted by Dr. Britt Lesher and Dr. Lisa Jung. Dr. Britt and Dr. Lisa are two licensed naturopathic doctors, passionate about all things health and wellness. They are on the mission to break down wellness trends, variety of conditions with a naturopathic and holistic lens. Tune in every Wednesdays for new episodes. This podcast does not act as medical advice and should not be used as a substitute for medical care. Please contact your healthcare professional for questions regarding your health.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Real Docs Podcast. This is Season 1, Episode 11. I'm your co-host, Dr. Britt Lesher.
And I'm Dr. Lisa Jung.
And today we're going to be talking about another little viral TikTok trend that's been going around. And it's actually the parasite gut cleanse that everybody and their mamas is doing.
Yes, yes. Very popular. And no specific video that we're reacting to today, but just the trend in general.
Yeah, if you look it up, all sorts of people are like doing all sorts of different parasite cleanses. Like I saw people putting some sort of, like, making some sort of tub with apple cider vinegar and putting their feet in it.
Oh, with the bentonite clay.
Yeah, all sorts of different things. But I'm assuming we're talking about the gut parasite cleanser.
That you're ingesting. The one that you're talking about, I saw it one day and even I was just like, wait, what? I was like, what are you doing? What's that?
Why are you getting into your bathroom sink?
I'm like, how did you climb up there? Oh my God, what is that?
So today we're going to be breaking down everything that you need to know about parasites. Like, do you actually need a parasite cleanse? All of that stuff. Because I think a lot of the videos are like, if you feel fatigue and brain fog and like all of these general symptoms, then you might have parasites. Yeah. Here, do a parasite cleanse. And it's like, no, that's not how we go about doing things, guys.
Yes.
We got to go talk to a health professional. We got to tell them our symptoms. We got to get worked up. We got to get diagnosed. And then we got to get treatment. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. So, yes. It's so funny that you mentioned that too. Because yeah, like if you see a lot of these videos, it's like very, very general symptoms, right?
Yeah.
And to us as, you know, medical professionals, we are always working up on something called differential diagnosis, aka, okay, here comes someone with fatigue. What could it be? Mm-hmm. We're not just honing in of it's a parasite infection. I know it. It's not that. So it's about what's, you know, their nutrient looking like, what's their lifestyle looking like, what's their, you know, other health conditions, if there's any looking like, all of that, right? And then along that list of things that could possibly be causing that fatigue or whatever could be a parasite infection, right? So rather than just being like, oh, I have a brain fog, I have a rash, I need a parasite
cleanse. A brain fog,
yes, a brain fog, maybe you don't eat that day, I don't know. But rather than just jumping straight into doing a parasite cleanse that's not guided by a medical professional, that's unsupervised, make sure to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, hopefully after you listen to us today, you'll be like, okay, maybe I need to go see somebody about this instead of like following a TikTok trend. I definitely see TikTok now more and more. I'm seeing TikTok as this, like, it's kind of turning into that, like, that Instagram phase where it was like everything was click to buy. And, you know, now people are making videos about it where it's like, I'm doing this gut cleanse and I've lost 19 pounds on this parasite cleanse. And they're linking the parasite gut cleanser on there. And I'm just like, what is happening here? Like, this is too much.
Yeah. Just also know when people are selling stuff on their TikTok shop, they do make money off of you. So just FYI, you know, I think that's general knowledge and most people know that. But I feel like it's also something to disclose that, like, they do make money off of, you know, sales to you. So some things get the best of us. I'm not going to lie. We've definitely been there being like, oh, that thing. I want that thing.
For sure.
Buy it. Like the pickle kit.
Yes.
We bought the pickle kit. It was good.
It called me out. Yes.
We love pickles.
Yes.
But I feel like, again, anything that's sort of this medical end of things, you need to make sure these are vetted out, that you are being supervised and all of that, because a parasite cleanse for too long or too much or anything onto your system can actually worsen your health. And we don't want that.
Amen.
A lot of the things that I see are either like the tincture ones, I'm not going to say the brand, or commonly what I have people, like my patients, tell me, especially if they've gone through it through another provider in the past or anything like that, is usually like a protocol, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about that. Starting off with symptoms of parasite infection. Funny enough, I won't lie, some of these symptoms of parasite infection, a true parasite infection, is relatively general. So fatigue definitely is another one. Loss of appetite or changes in appetite, fever, rash. Now, fever makes sense, right? Because if you're having an infection, that's your immune system basically saying, hey, there's something going on, like, come check it out. But, you know, other stuff, unexplained constipation or diarrhea. The rash is also very kind of general, right? Because is it a different, you know, cosmetic that I used that day? Did I eat something? Maybe that's a food allergy or, you know, yada, yada, yada. But skin rash could be definitely some other ones. Nausea, vomiting, you know, a lot of like gut and things too.
Yeah.
Just bloating in general. It's very broad.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of times people will have these types of like generalized symptoms, and it's very easy to just be like, I have parasites. But realistically, there are so many underlying causes of these things. And I think one thing that I, just because from not personal experience, family personal history experience, the itching, itching of all sorts, anal itching,
rectal itching,
so that is a big one. And I feel like when people have those types of systemic general symptoms, in addition to some of these other more GI related stuff, I definitely like hone in and want to rule out that, right? So I think that a lot of times if people are having a lot of these generalized symptoms, I'm like, hey, let's do a stool test, a comprehensive stool analysis, meaning you're casting the widest net you can cast with gut health testing, right? Because oftentimes people go into a conventional provider's office and it's just like the big ones, right, to rule out, especially if you're having GI symptoms. But the reality is that there's so many other types of parasitic type of infections that can happen and cause a lot of those symptoms. I think one that's commonly tested for that I see is Giardia.
Yeah.
Like that's a very common parasitic type of infection, but that's just one of the many that you could possibly have.
It's common than you think, but it's also not that common. And I feel like that kind of goes into also who can be at risk of getting parasites, right? And it's, a lot of it is if you're eating uncooked meat or contaminated, you know, foods, things like that, along with, you know, I feel like people who love sushi, aka me, are also more primed to be exposed to that a little more often, because some of the bigger fish like salmon and tuna can have parasites. So if you're ingesting it, you are getting it into your system, right? Or if you have weakened immune system, or, you know, the common thing that I see that I also see a lot of my patients have the history of is they'll travel to countries, you know, most commonly like Mexico or Bali or Thailand. I feel like especially kind of like that Southeast Asia countries, they are more at risk of developing or getting parasite infections. Common things that they'll say is, I went on a vacation to Thailand and then my maybe last day or whatever, I had something and then all of a sudden I had food poisoning. Common thing that we see, and we, you know, usually we do the comprehensive stool test and then lo and behold, you brought a parasite with you.
Back you to brought a friend
States.
Home.
Not a good friend, not a good roommate, just stealing all your resources. I think it's really good too in terms of how important it is to test, because if you don't really have the data and you don't get worked up, again, everybody can say, I have a parasite infection. The end.
Yeah.
But really, do you actually have it? And are you actually spending money and time and resources on something that you want to treat versus you think you have, but you don't, right? And it can get pretty costly in terms of doing a lot of like the parasite cleanses, especially when you're doing the protocol kit. A lot of them go into like two, three, four hundreds even. And it's a lot of money. It's a lot of also just time and energy, and also sometimes feeling like crap.
Yeah.
Literal.
Yeah. Literal crap. Have you seen those videos on TikTok of like those people getting like the colon hydrotherapy or the colonics?
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like the little strings coming out and it's like, oh, that was a parasite. Those are, it's very interesting because I think that when people do things like that and they get to see what's coming out of them and they don't quite understand like what's happening, it's very easy to be like, oh, that's a parasite. That's a parasite, because they're used to thinking like, oh, it looks like a worm, like a long worm, right? And I mean, I definitely think that there is like some sort of merit to like flushing out the colon. Like a lot of people do colonics and things like that, guided, not by themselves. But the idea of like these strings all being parasites is just ridiculous to me. And it's kind of like fear-mongering amongst people on the internet, but it's just really crazy.
I have never gotten one, but I am a fan of colonics, you know, here and there. I don't really believe in, you know, getting it done every week, every 2 weeks or whatever. More just kind of like a every quarter to like maybe like a couple times a year, just to kind of do a good detox cleanse or whatever, right? But if you're having gut issues, it's not something you should be going to all the time just to get it done, because that can also mess up the gut system. Now the string of the worm that you're telling about, a lot of times unless someone's digging through someone's bowels and you know, really seeing, you know, through cytology or PCR or whatever, that it is truly a parasite, most of the time it's not. It's a mucoid plaque, aka just mucus that's coming out of your intestines. And mucus is very important when our intestinal tract, because it's the almost like a little barrier that your cells produce to get between the cells and something that's causing irritation, right? So it's really beneficial for that sort of acute sort of state.
Yeah.
But if you're having gut issues and, you know, your body is just constantly producing mucus, right? It's just a string of mucus that's just, you know, a barrier of mucus that's just there, right?
Yeah.
And then whenever stool just kind of passes through, sometimes it can stick to one of the mucus, or mucus can kind of hook onto it, come out with the stool. And then if you're doing a colonic or even looking at your toilet bowl, you just see this like long thing. Most times it's a mucoid plaque.
I was going to say, a lot of times patients will even have stool, you know, pass a bowel movement, and then even, you know, in the toilet or whatever it is, they see this white type of stringy thing in the toilet. Oh, I have parasites. Like, do you actually just have mucus in your stool? Right. So I think, and that can even be, you know, a flag for something even larger than that, if you're having a lot of mucus in your stool. So, I mean, either way, we're going to pay attention to what's going on in the GI system. I think jumping first thing to like, oh, I need to get this Paragard, Parify, whatever it's called, kit on TikTok, not the greatest idea.
Right. And it's also like, for example, like when you are getting a colonic and you just see things, right? I feel like we talked about this in our last episode too, how biased we can get, you know, in the state and environment that we're in. We're like, oh, that's a parasite.
Yeah.
That's a parasite. But really it's like, no, like what else could it be?
Yeah.
Did I eat some stringy thing, you know, yesterday? Is it a mucus? Is it, you know, what is it, right? Or is it maybe truly a parasite? We don't know until you actually get tested.
Right.
Now, the comprehensive stool test, since we were kind of talking about it, I think is a really good one that's out there. I use it quite often in my practice. Not all the time, but often enough. Funny enough, a lot of the conventional labs, when it comes to parasite testing, they're kind of trash. So one of the common ones is ONP, right, and that's basically standing for ova and parasite, and you have this like little tiny wooden little thing that you collect, like an ever so tiny little amount, and then you send it to a lab, and then they basically, and I think you like smear it in an envelope.
We did this together. We talked about that, remember?
Memory.
We suppressed it.
And then you send it off to lab. But it's really, I would say with OMP, I have a lot more of false negatives than a false positive, because it also is very subjective. It depends on, you know, if the person collecting it, maybe they got the parts where maybe the worm or parasite wasn't really in there, or maybe the stool that they had for that day, that for that collection, didn't actually have the worms or whatever mm-hmm. parasites passing through, right? So there's a higher probability of things coming back negative than a false positive, right? But in one of my residency days, I actually found one of the panel through, I think it's Quest mm-hmm. or LabCorp. I don't know, one of those, mm-hmm. where they have a GI pathogen panel. And mm-hmm. that one is detecting what we call PCR. So looking at the genetic markers of these, you know, different critters that you can detect through your stool. Mm-hmm. But it's a different panel of bacteria, viruses, and a little bit of parasite. Mm-hmm. I think if I remember correctly, Giardia is part of it. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the parasite section, it's so, like, it's like one or two.
Oh, I see.
If I remember correctly. Yeah. So it's also very not comprehensive, right?
Yeah.
Just like you said, there's so many different parasites yeah. that are out there, including worms, that people can have. But when it comes to, you know, comprehensive stool panel that I've done with a lot of people, we would find, I think the common things that we find is Diatomeba mm-hmm. and Cyclospora. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just always asking, like, where'd you get your little friend? Because we're going to kick them out. You know, I think getting worked up for, you know, all these tests are going to be really important. Mm-hmm. As well, I feel like also when it comes to actual true evaluation of parasite infection, right? That's yeah. also going to do a number on your gut microbiome.
Right.
I think that's also why we love doing the comprehensive stool test whenever we do it, because not only are we detecting the parasite, whether it's the, you know, amoebas or the worms, but also what's the impact that it had on our gut, mm-hmm. our gut function, our gut microbiome. You know, did it also allow other critters to kind of come in as well, because mm-hmm. now your gut immune system's down. So
usually the gut testing that I utilize in practice, it's the Genova stool GI effects. And I like that because, like you were saying, it breaks down the, you know, five different categories in which your gut can be compromised, and they do the PCR testing. Cause I was, when you were telling that story about the OMP, I just had flashbacks of us, like, we had to do this in school. We had to bring our little literal tub of poo to class, and we all had to take a piece of it and smear it onto a little glass, and then...
Whoa. We had to heat it up first.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Okay, sorry.
We had to smear it on the piece of glass, and then we had to heat it. So I just had a flashback of us, like, putting Vicks under our nose and, like, trying to survive that lab. But like Dr. Lisa was saying, it's like, what if you don't get the sliver with the stuff in it? And it's a tiny, tiny little sliver. Like, think of like a microscope slide, right? So it's very subjective and very prone to error, I would say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now even they have like, oh, you know, just in case, provide like three samples. So like the OMP times three, provide three samples and we'll do that three times just to make sure. But the reality of the situation is that there's still someone that has to view it under a microscope and make the call. And there's lots of points in that process that can be prone to user error. Mm-hmm. So yeah, using something like a comprehensive stool analysis kit, they have so many different ones. Usually they have to be ordered by a licensed professional, so you're gonna have to do that anyway. But reaching out to somebody who has the capability to run that is very important. And then I like the results that you get, because oftentimes too, like, if you have some sort of bug, if you have some sort of infection, if you have some sort of parasitic infection, they give you a list of medications and or herbs that are helpful. So, you know, just some herbs. I think that these are very, you know, the common herbs that we see in a lot of these paragards, like the wormwood, artemisia, and the black walnut, right? A lot of these herbs are so rough on your gut. They're very caustic. That's the whole point, right? Because we're trying to evict, so we're like calling the cops, right. But sometimes very inflammatory, right? Yeah. So I think that's the point that we're trying to make about, like, why maybe just any old person off the street shouldn't just like buy some sort of supplement off of TikTok and start taking it, because these herbs are not like, they're not something to mess with.
Actually, I'm glad that you mentioned those two herbs, because those two, when it comes to any sort of like parasite cleanse or anything, those two are kind of the most common ones that are in the formula, right? Now, just like Dr. Britt said, these herbs are really powerful. So whenever we recommend parasite herbs to people, it's a very short amount of time that they're on these herbs. Black walnut, for example, it's cathartic. It's laxative. It's a purgative.
Mm-hmm.
Purgative, cathartic, laxative. That doesn't sound very fun if you think about it. Now, if you're just, you know, going after
it. It sounds like you're having like an exorcist on the gut.
Pretty much. You're having an exorcism on the toilet bowl.
cathartic. Laxative.
If you're having these kind of cathartic power bowel movements mm-hmm. happening for a very, very long time, not only are you going into more of a state where you're getting dehydrated, you're losing fluids, and you can actually mess up with your gut too. Now, on top of that, black walnut contains a compound called juglones. It is the compound, the active mm-hmm. compound. It can actually be toxic to your liver, your kidneys, and your gut lining. So that's also why whenever we recommend it to people, it's a very, very short time. Whenever I do any sort of anti-parasitic work with people, I always say max 4 weeks and then we're done. Discontinue right then and there. The wormwood, artemisia, mm-hmm. Very great herbs and all of that. But the essential oil for the artemisia can be neurotoxic. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants that. Sesquiterpene lactones mm-hmm. that are in there are also damaging to your organs, your mm-hmm. gut, your eyes, your nose, like pretty much any kind of like the lightning stuff, right? So you'd never want to be on these things for like the rest of your life or anything chronic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very short amount because, again, whenever we talk about supplements, herbs, even just medications, there's risk benefit in terms of using those and what's the safety before it gets unsafe.
Like just reiterating the dosage, strength, frequency, and how long you're taking these things for is so important. And that's why you want the guidance from a provider, because these herbs are not just like everyone always thinks of herbs as being like very gentle and benign. Like herbs can kill you.
Yeah.
Right. So I think if not the herb itself, the side effects that maybe come from it, right? Mm-hmm. And just thinking back to those videos that you see on TikTok of like, oh, I've lost like 9 pounds being on this parasite cleanse. It's like, yeah, because you're probably having a purge mm-hmm. where you're just pooping your brains out or throwing up or something like that. Like that can cause also weight loss. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Losing fluids or maybe not being able to keep anything down from food because mm-hmm. you're purging. Like, there's so, whenever people say that, I just always think about like, well, like that's really not safe.
That's not something to gloat about.
Yeah. You know, I think when it comes to any sort of parasites, if you have it, if you, you know, get worked up and if you see that you have it or you even see actual worms staring at you in your toilet bowl, you know, be careful in terms of doing a parasite cleanse. But if you don't, then it's not really for you, because why do you want to take something that you don't really have? That's like a basically like if you have a viral infection and taking antibiotic. And I feel like also like one big thing we talk about when it comes to just any sort of antimicrobial therapy work,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's parasites, whether it's bacteria, whether it's viruses or even candida, is the die-off reactions
you have.
And that can cause a whole nother slew of symptoms. And
mm-hmm.
I always tell people, like, whenever we do any sort of, you know, any antiparasite or antimicrobial stuff, I just tell them, you can have die off reaction. And trust me, you don't want to have it.
You want to die off.
Yeah.
What you're saying, the Herxheimer reaction, right? It can be very powerful and bothersome to people. So it's like being aware of that before you go in to these things. Like, I just think about that poor person who bought the TikTok shop, you know, parasite cleanse, and they're like, oh, I'm going to cleanse my gut. And then they're just in for a week of hell. My heart goes out to those people, but that should really teach you that these things aren't just for the faint of heart and you don't just want to go and do any sort of cleanse off the internet.
Not a fun time. You're never going to be able to go outside because you're just going to be attached to your toilet.
I think that it's important to definitely talk about these things because people make it seem so like easy and gentle when they're talking about it on the internet. But the reality is it's not a pretty process. And like the Herxheimer die-off reaction can be very powerful. And especially so many different people have different levels of like immunity in terms of what their system can tolerate. And it can actually mess people up to the point where, you know, they don't come back from that. They are now stuck in this situation of just like feeling like ultimate crap. We were always taught, you know, whenever you detoxify anything, whenever you're doing any sort of cleanse or any sort of like, you know, trying to expel anything, you want to make sure that the system is strong enough to be able to tolerate it. And you want to make sure that your detoxifying organs, like your liver and kidneys and all of that stuff,
your emunctories,
exactly, that you're open and ready to like get that crap out. Mm-hmm. Because worst thing is when you're doing these cleanses and you're not purging it, you're not getting it out of your system, and it's just sitting inside, percolating. Yeah. So hopefully we scared you enough.
This isn't a fear mongering. This isn't a fear tactic. It's a caution.
Yes.
I feel like the general theme and a lot of our theme is don't believe everything that you see on the internet. Mm-hmm. Vet it out. You know, make sure you're supervised if you want to do it, if it's indicated for you, all that good stuff.
Yeah, like some things are going to be like worth a try or like safe enough where, you know, masses of people could give it a go. But there are always, and I can put 100% money down on this, there are always going to be people that are going to have negative experiences with these things. Mm-hmm. And you don't want that to be you. Mm-hmm. So talk to a healthcare professional, like always. You have anything you want to add?
No, I think we said it all.
Before we worm our way out of this conversation.
If you have any questions about parasite cleanses, testing, or, you know, other stuff, it doesn't even have to be about this topic. Leave us a comment, you know, on YouTube, or, you know, DM us on our The Real Docs podcast, Instagram and TikTok. We would love to make an episode talking about all your questions. But yeah, that was our conversation for the parasite cleanse.
Everyone, be real
and stay well.
And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Real Docs Podcast. Don't forget to like and share this episode and follow us on our social media pages. Tune in every Wednesday for more episodes.